Coming up on Your Best Life.
You may not have all the equipment, the education, the armory for whatever the dream is, but let me tell you this, if you've got a heart filled with faith, that is where you're going to start to see the miracles of God come to pass in your life. Just, I believe I can actually make this thing come to pass.
Welcome to another message by Pastor Phil Pringle, leader of C3 Church. We are praying that this message will bless you and help you live your best life. For more information about Pastor Phil and C3, please visit myc3church.net.
Hi friends, I am so excited about our new album, Only Love. You can download it on iTunes. It is fantastic. I've found this has such a buoyant effect on my soul. When I'm listening to this music, it lifts me, it helps me worship God. And I'm telling you, during the day when I'm not even listening to the music, those songs keep singing themselves on the inside of my heart. I know you're gonna love this great album, Only Love, from C3 Church.
Well, I'm excited about preaching this message. I've titled it One Way. Anybody out of the Jesus Revolution will remember One Way Jesus. How many of you were actually around in the 70s as Christians? I can't believe it. You look too young. Amazing what Jesus will do for your faith lift. Amen. I can't believe you were there. You look like a teenager, for goodness sake. But Chris and I, we were involved in that move of God in the early days of following Jesus. We saw so many young people, hippies, and all kinds of people receive Jesus. And that was one of the themes, no turning back, one way, and Jesus was the only way. That was the kind of message that we had. In 2 weeks' time, we've got water baptisms, and I want to make sure that everybody has made that decision to follow Christ and has actually committed to going through a death, burial, and resurrection experience. And that happens when you're water baptized. That's the meaning of water baptism. It wasn't the meaning of when Jesus was baptized, or even in the Old Testament when John the Baptist was baptizing people, but Paul the Apostle gave a deeper meaning to the whole ceremony of going down in the water in full immersion and emerging again. It's a symbol of being identified with Jesus in the death, burial, and resurrection. In fact, the New Testament talks about it like it's like Moses leading Israel out of Egypt. And as they came out, they went through the Red Sea. And he says they were baptized. That was like water baptism right there. And as they went through the water, after they had all come through the water, closed in on their enemy. And so it's like at that moment, everything that had kept them in bondage, everything that had kept them in slavery for 400 years, everything that had oppressed them, that had made them work for nothing, that had kept them as slaves and beaten them and possessed them as their own private working army, these people suddenly were set free. And I have seen people who have been vague in their Christianity suddenly get immense clarity just through being water baptized. They kind of say, wow, I see it now. Because it's a commitment to burying your old life and entering into an entirely new life. That's what water baptism is. And so we were going to call this No Turning Back, but I kind of don't like having a title that starts with no. So I just said, let's call it One Way Jesus. But that really is the essence of what we're talking about, that once you've made a commitment to follow Christ, it's all about, that's it. We're not going to be turning around and going back. This is a lifelong commitment where we close options, burn bridges, shut doors, and we move purely in a forward motion. The scripture that I want to start with is this amazing passage in Hebrews 10, verse 39, which says, "But we are not of those who shrink back unto destruction, but of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul." We are not of those, or not of them. So that means there are some who do go back. And I love this writer. He doesn't say, hey, don't be like those people who go back. He says, we are not those who turn back. If you're reading this letter, he has declared you that we are not that crowd. And there are plenty in that crowd. All of us know somebody who read about something in church life and got offended, a scandal knocked their foundation in their Christian faith. Some others started backsliding, so they went with them. They got tempted to do something they shouldn't do. And so they, and this scripture is saying, but we're not, but we are not. Everybody say, but we are not. Yeah. Have a huge but in your life. Now, I know a lot of you are trying to get rid of a big but, you know, but the point is, this is a but that you need to have in your life. But we are not those, because there will come a day. And I hate to say this, you know, I'm not being negative, but there will come a day when you don't feel like coming to church. I know that's hard to believe. I know somebody says, no, that'll never happen. There will come a day where you don't feel like praying, where you don't feel like reading the Bible, where you don't feel like sharing Christ, where you don't feel like actually following Jesus and staying on that straight and narrow road, because you're getting tempted to do something that'll take you off that road. And on that day, when you don't have the feelings or the inspirations or the motivations, that's the day that you find commitment. And the word commitment is such a holy word. I hardly can say it without putting my teeth together. I got to put my teeth together when I say it, commitment. Because that's what it is. You got to say, you know what? Today, I'm just staying true to the thing I committed myself to. And I'm staying on track. Everybody say the word commitment. It's like a pledge, it's like a vow you made about your life. You said, this is what I'm gonna do. And commitment is hard to keep, but when you keep it, you build a thing called character in your life. And when you build character, you become a stronger, faithful person. When you arrive in heaven, God doesn't say, well done, you're good, an inspirational, motivated person. He doesn't say, well done, you feeling good person. He said, well done, faithful. The person who is committed and faithful. They are my heroes throughout the world. I know plenty of talented people, celebrities, famous people, and this kind of thing. But give me people who are faithful and have got character and reliability, trustworthiness. Jesus is looking for you to be a true believer. Somebody who says, I'm not of those who are gonna just turn back at the first sign of trouble. I'm not gonna be a fair weather friend of Jesus. As long as he's blessing me and everything's cool, I'm gonna stick around. There is gonna be trouble some days. And on those days, you need to remember a guy called Job in the Bible. Because whatever you've got to complain about, it's nothing compared to what happened to him. Nobody is ever gonna suffer like he suffered, losing his entire family in one day. Lost all of his business, all of his finances, everybody, even his friends accused him of being a sinner, because bad things only happen to bad people in their theology. But that's not true. Sometimes bad things happen to good people, and it's inexplainable. And there are gonna be some horrific things that happen in people's lives, and you have got no way of explaining it. How can you explain that to Job? You can't. But he said, I'm committed. Even though bad things have happened, I'm not gonna be turning back. Even though his own family, his own wife was saying, just curse God. How could God let all this happen? He said, I'm not gonna. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And so moving to the gear of trust becomes immensely important, so that you're saying, you know what? I'm finding it hard to believe right now, but I'm just gonna trust God. I'm gonna go into neutral and leave my life in the hands of God. I'm not gonna turn back. But if I'm finding it hard to take a step forward, I'm certainly gonna stay with him. And once you make that commitment, you'll find yourself getting closer to Christ than you've ever been in your entire life. Don't think that Christianity is gonna inoculate you against pain. There will be days that are troublesome, but in those times, keep commitment deep in your heart in Jesus' name. Everybody say commitment again. Okay, so he says, we are not of them that shrink back unto destruction, but of them who believe to the saving of the soul. So these guys said, we're not those who turn back. Like, and he's referring to the Israelites who at the land of Canaan entrance, after they had come out of Egypt, gone through the Red Sea, passed through the wilderness, came to a little town called Kadesh Barnea. The River Jordan was there. They sent spies across the river into the land, and they came back saying, it is a great land, but there are huge giants there that we cannot win the war against. In fact, in one passage, they say, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. We look so small. And he said, then we looked at ourselves and we felt so small. We felt like grasshoppers. We saw ourselves through the eyes of the enemy. We became like grasshoppers in our own sight. After all that God had done for them, which tells me that faith does not come from seeing miracles. Faith comes from the Word of God. And you'll never find that the faith that you had yesterday is enough for today. That's why coming to church is so important, that you will hear words that put faith and courage back in your heart. On Sunday morning, you might think, oh, I'm never going to make it through this thing. You go to church, boom, you can walk out and say, I can do this. You are reminded of promises that the devil has knocked out of your thinking so that you get back that faith that was slipping out and leaking out of the battery. We are not them who shrink back to destruction. Well, those Israelites, they walked back from the challenge. Here's the thing. We think we're walking back to safety. We think by retreating from the challenge, we're going to be safer than by entering into the battle against the giants. But they were completely wrong. As they went backwards, they were moving towards destruction. They didn't realize that only behind them there was destruction. You see, when you read about your armor in the New Testament, there's nothing for the back. It's all for your front. And that's the way to fight the battle, friends. Just face your fears. Face the thing that's trying to intimidate you. Run to the battle like David ran to the giant. Don't be letting anything intimidate you to turn around and I'm out of here. You're not going to be walking towards safety. The only way through is forward. And so these guys, when they went back, not only did they move back towards destruction, they shrank in size. Their vision got smaller. Their plans got tiny. Their giving reduced. Everything seemed to get smaller. They shrunk. So when you start moving backwards, you diminish in size and you lose the size of greatness that God wants to put inside of you. Conversely, as long as you stay in faith and are moving forward, you are going to get bigger. If you move backwards, you get smaller. If you move forwards, you get bigger and you move towards safety and blessing. So whatever is trying to make you drift away or push you back from a full commitment to Christ, don't accept that. Say, I'm going forward in Jesus' name. I'm going to go against my own feelings, against my own self. I'm going to get ruthless on my soul, and I'm moving to enlargement. Come on, let's give the Lord a great clap offering. So that's where we're going. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith that is named, which is in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. This is what baptism is. I have been crucified with Christ. So here's the point, that once we have died, there is nothing to go back to. There's only a dead life back there. He is saying, I'm living a new life now. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God. Nothing is achieved without that commitment. I want to give you three reasons why I've seen people actually turn around and why the Bible says people turn back. And let's understand how we can actually keep ourselves moving forward. The first one is when people become battle weary because they forget that God is in the fight with them and they are beaten before they even try. I want to read you a psalm, which is one of the most revealing and enlightening insights into human life and to how we behave, but how God wanted to shape our lives. Psalm 78, verse 1, it's a contemplation of Asaph. He says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Okay, everybody say that one with me. Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. I love that verse. I love that verse because number one, they were told something. It wasn't a letter written to them. Somebody told them. And the person who told them was their father. Fathers very often feel like relegating the spiritual business of the household to mum, to the wife, and saying, hey, how about you make sure the kids get the children's church? Or are we going to read the Bible tonight? And mum's the one who kind of starts doing that. Fathers, I would like you to think about just instigating something in your home where you just talk to your kids about Jesus. Where when you're tucking them into bed at night, you read something out of the Bible to them and you pray for them. My son, who's 40 years old, Daniel, still says, oh, just run your hands through my hair like you did when I was a kid there. You know, he says, such a good feeling. You know, like, Lord Jesus, just touch him and bless him. And actually, I like that. Would you do that for me, Jeff? You know, I was like, yeah. A bit young to be my father, but it's just a thing of the father's hand on the brow of your head, bringing spiritual life into your world. Things that we have heard from our fathers. It's something that the Jewish legacy has in it, that the fathers are priests in their own home, leaders in their own home. And you may not think you're a leader, father, but you are in your own house. And so learning the art of leadership, there's a really good book written by a friend of mine called You, the Leader. And it will help you just in the world of taking some leadership and making some decisions. Saying, you know what? I mean, it's not being oppressive and being a jerk. I'm not talking about that. I mean, it's just like saying, hey, let's all just take a moment at the end of this meal and pray. At breakfast, sharing the word, when you're tucking people, your kids into bed. Okay, so in verse 4, it says, we will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. Don't sit there telling them about how hard it is to be a Christian. Tell them how beautiful God is. Tell them how powerful God is. Tell them how good God is and all the miracles that he's done in your own personal life, your own testimony. And then it says in verse 5, God established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they would make them known to their children. He didn't say, oh, this is just a good suggestion from pastor on a Sunday. Might be a good idea to talk to your kids. He said, this is a law. This was a commandment to the fathers. Talk to your children. Talk to them. Don't just write them a letter or let a book. Talk to them out of your own heart, your own experience. That's your own little flock there. You're the pastor to that little family. And then it says in verse 6, that the generation to come, those who haven't even been born, he's thinking about them, might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children. You're going to start something that snowballs as a legacy through one generation after the other. If you can just get God pouring down, it may not be in your side from your end before you. I'm a first generation Christian in my family. I've started a whole new line, a whole new legacy. And you might be in that same genre that you're a first generation Christian. Your father didn't talk to you about God, but you can start a whole new legacy for one generation after another. And you will make the world a better place because of bringing Jesus into your home and into your family. Be a father, be a man, and bring Christ. It is not an unmanly thing to bring Christ to your family. Do not think this is something that compromises masculinity in any way at all. It calls for strength. It calls for decision-making. It calls for headship and leadership. And to say, you know what? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Come on. Give the Lord a clap offering. Exactly. Verse 7 says that they may set their hope in God. One of the reasons our youth feel so despairing and hopeless is because parents have not injected hope into their heart. You're going to do so well in life. You've got so much to live for. There's such a reason for you being here. You have destiny written all over you. It's one thing to hear it from the pulpit on Sunday. Another thing to hear it from the youth leader on a Saturday night. Another thing to hear it from a children's worker or a school teacher. But I got to tell you, when your parents, when your father and your mother speak into your life and say, you've got destiny, child, amen. I'm believing in you that you are going to be great in the earth. You're going to do amazing things. I've got to tell you, every weekend when I stand up here, I have a huge level of intention on the inside of me that every single person in this room will become an extraordinary human being. That if I can just start to believe in you, that you can do beyond any of your dreams, that you can do greater things than you ever thought possible. And you'll rise up as some of the greatest preachers in the world, as some of the greatest business people in the world, some of the greatest leaders in the world, some of the greatest families in our society. And if we can actually believe that and start to touch that, we'll find the power of God will fulfill that inside our lives. Verse 8, and may not be like their fathers, stubborn and rebellious, a generation that did not set its heart right, whose spirit was not faithful to God. Verse 9, this is the passage I wanted to get to. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. We are not of those who turn back. Yet why did these guys turn back? It says in verse 10, they did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders. Why did they forget? Because nobody told them. Nobody reminded them. We forget things we're not reminded of. A little alert comes up on your calendar reminding you. And you say, oh, I would have forgotten that unless I'd been reminded. The reason we come to church every week is to be reminded how great and powerful our God is, how little your problem is actually that's trying to defeat you, how great your destiny is, how magnificent the love of God for you is. When we are reminded of these things, we can face the battle and not turn back in the day of battle. Even though they had all the equipment, they were armed with bows and spears and swords, they lacked the heart. They had all the equipment, but no courage. We can have everything we need to go out and buy a house, to get our spiritual life right, to get a family going, to do all. We can have all of the equipment and yet lack the courage to actually step out and do it. I'd rather have the courage than have the equipment, to tell you the truth, because God can do something with a heart filled with courage and faith. Samson picked up the jawbone of an ass. He didn't have anything else. Didn't have a sword. Didn't have anything. When 1,000 Philistines came on him, he said, I can beat them with this. Boom. It doesn't matter what you got in your hand. Moses, what are you going to deliver these Israelites with? I don't know. What's that in your hand? A stick. Let's do it with that. You may not have all what you need according to this world. You may not have all the deposit for the house. You may not have all the business acumen. You may not have all the equipment, the education, the armory for whatever the dream is. But let me tell you this, if you've got a heart filled with faith, that is where you're going to start to see the miracles of God come to pass in your life. Just, I believe I can actually make this thing come to pass. That's where it begins. If your faith has been switched off by circumstances, use your will here today to switch it back on and say, I'm going to start believing again. Somehow, some way, we can make this happen in Jesus' name. Amen. The second reason people turn back is when they see the size of the vision and forget about the steps they're taking. A long time ago, I figured this out. I don't know how I figured it out. Must have heard it from somebody else cleverer than me. But I found that when I would look at the vision, it would discourage me. Because it was too big. It would excite me, but it would discourage me at the same time. I think, how are we ever going to do that? But then I figured out that if I drop my eyes off that vision every now and then and just put it on the next step. And I said, I know that if I keep making this next step, I'll eventually get to the vision. Because these are the steps I've got to take. And they can seem insignificant. Oh, I hated going to the gym when I first went. I mean, it's nothing happens. You're in pain every day. You're working hard. Like this was 10 years ago when I was just a skinny little nothing, but look, Now, hey, what? That's a laugh of unbelief if I ever heard one. Obviously, I need to show you. No, I don't want to make anybody stumble. Amen. So, you guys are cruel. I can hear it in your laughter. So much cynicism and sarcasm. You know, here's the thing. When you start, nothing's happening. But you're developing a base core, you see. Something's happening in the areas that you can't see. And then suddenly, one day, pop, it's all there. Amen. Still cynicism. I've never felt so much unbelief in this room before. Hey, Jamie, you know what it's like. Look at you. You look like a skinny little nothing, but I've seen you. I've seen you. Yeah, he's buff, man. You stop eating. You know, you try to lose weight. And you think, look, I didn't have extra toast at breakfast. I should have lost something by lunchtime. It takes forever. And as you get older, in the way distant past, you had a thing that started with M, metabolism. And now all you've got is storage space. No, I was going to say muffins, but anyway. How do you get rid of the muffins? Out in Jesus' name, amen. I got banana muffins on this side and I got blueberry ones over this side, amen. Get serious, please. Here you go. People only, when you are looking at the big picture all the time, you forget about the power of just tenacity. With little steps, by the inch, life's a cinch. By the yard, life's hard. Oh, how corny. But anyway, it's true that if you try and take steps that are enormous, you may get defeated. Just keep taking the little steps. Keep banging on that mortgage. Just keep giving twice as much as you should to it or whatever it is, and you'll knock it over before you think, wow, how did that happen? When you made your vision builder's commitment, just step every week, just keep doing it. Don't be thinking, oh, I got this huge amount. Just do what you know you've set out a plan to do on a direct debit or however, and you actually will achieve it and you surprise yourself. That's how you build a thing called habit, and habit is what builds character. What you do is who you are. And as you constantly do the same thing, that becomes what you are. And so tenacious, consistent commitment will actually achieve far more than a great attempt of leaping at your goal. Okay, the third reason people turn back is when they encounter tough times. If I could have the band come, that'd be great. When you lose sight of the vision and the big picture now, this is exactly the reverse of what I just said. Because there's two ways. You can't just look down from the big vision and only be engrossed in that. You got to take a glance at where you are going and what your final goal is. And as you get on that race, you're going to find yourself in this scripture here in Hebrews 12:1. It says, therefore, let us also, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Paul is commenting on the Olympic Games. He'd been in the Colosseum and seen them run around the Colosseum. He'd seen them all doing their races. And now he's saying, let's run our race with endurance for the prize that is ahead of us. And he says, one of the ways that you're going to do this is looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. But here he also talks about a great cloud of witnesses. I don't know about you what your most common fight is, but mine is discouragement. I find that pretty well every day I gotta battle discouragement because what I see in the vision and what is reality are two very different things. And the deficit, the gap between, is where you can get very discouraged. You're believing that this is gonna happen, but then you see your reality. It just slaps you in the face. And you go, oh, is it ever gonna happen? Discouragement is a terrible, terrible demon. It can visit anybody. It can visit the poorest person in town. It can sit down at dinner with the richest person in town. And discouragement will cause people's hearts to turn back if you don't overcome that. You know, as they stepped out into this race, Paul is saying, let's run the race in front of this great cloud of witnesses. So when you start your run, you're running and you're feeling, oh, this is so great, I'm doing so well. And then bam, you get overwhelmed with debts and with difficulties. You feel like you're drowning. You think, I'm drowning, Jesus, I don't know if I can keep running this race. You look up in the stand and there's this old guy up there with a long beard. His name is Noah. And he says, hey, when you feel like drowning, you keep running because you're gonna make it through the flood. You're gonna get to the other side of this thing. And so you get up and go, whoa, yeah, and you keep running. And then you find there's a legislation come against your business. It makes it harder, the taxes and you're getting swamped with all kinds of new bills. And then people are mocking your Christianity and trying to stop you praying. You say, oh, I don't know if I can keep running this race. You look up in the stand, there's a guy up there with bright eyes, standing tall, his name is Daniel. And he says, hey, when the government legislation goes against you, don't you stop praying. When it feels like you're in a lion's pit, you keep believing, you're gonna make it through this. You go, whoa, yeah, Daniel, you're awesome. And you're running along this race, and then your family seems to turn against you. You find that they're putting you down, they wanna sell you out, put you down a pit. You had a dream and now it's died. Then you get unjustly accused. People lie about you, punish you for things you didn't do. And you're thinking, oh, what's the use? Where's God in all this? You look up in the stand, there's a young man up there called Joseph. And he says, when your dream looks like it's being killed, when it looks like your family are throwing you out in a pit and you feel like you're dying, you keep running because you're gonna make it to the end, son. You're gonna get to the other side. But I gotta tell you, listen to me. Above every other voice you can hear in that grandstand, there's one voice that's louder than them all. There's one figure who stands taller than them all. And when you feel like you've been crucified, locked in a grave, and a stone is rolled over you, you will hear the voice of Jesus Christ himself. And he'll be saying, keep on running, keep on running. You're gonna make it. You'll get through this thing. Don't turn back. You're gonna make it to the other side. There's a resurrection awaiting you. You're gonna get right to the end of your race. Don't turn back. Keep following him. Come on, let's all stand. Give Jesus a mighty clap offering here in this house today. God of heaven, God of all the earth, we're gonna give you praise. We're gonna give you all the glory, all of the majesty, all of the honor, all of the praise. Lord, you're worthy. Lord, you're worthy. Lord, you're worthy. There is no one else besides you in all the earth. We will worship. We will praise. We will magnify. We will glorify you forever and ever. Oh, our Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
C3 Church is a vibrant, contemporary community of people who want to know Jesus more and be equipped to live their best life. We have over 300 churches around the world waiting to welcome you. So find your nearest C3 at c3churchglobal.com.
Hi, everybody. Look, I just wanted to take a moment to say a big thank you. I mean, the biggest thank you I can possibly make to all of you who partner with us. You send in contributions and offerings to help us resource people, to bring out podcasts, and in so many different ways, we're able to bring the glorious, the amazing message of Jesus to so many people's lives, and they are transformed. People's lives are literally turned right side up every time Christ comes into their world. Because you're partnering with us, because you are faithful, and because of your generosity, we're able to keep preaching and keep this entire broadcast and communication of the gospel happening all around the world. So once again, thank you. God bless you. I'm praying and believing with you for an abundance to be poured into your world and to be blessed in your families, in your homes, in your businesses, at every level, in the mighty name of Jesus.